characters and the sorts of things that their family was dealing with. And it's, I just want to be clear that Sabina and Maya are not the same person. They're not the same character. You know, they have different illnesses, and Maya does not have a death sentence hanging over her head, but she does have this disease that makes it difficult for her to breathe. And so the theme of breathing sort of started to take real shape in the forefront of my mind, and trying to figure out a way to tell a story that incorporated the idea of death and loss and life was just, I needed to do it. I needed to like use that as a way for me to get through something. And Kat, the character who's pretty much the narrator of the story, she deals with anxiety, and that's something that I also deal with. So it was also about learning to figure out how to conquer fear. So there's a lot of themes, and usually when you set out to write a story, you don't start with the themes. The themes kind of emerge over time, and sometimes after you're done with it, you go, wow, that's a book about this thing. So there's so much at play. But also, I grew up in this part of Northern California, which is known for these sort of green, foggy landscapes, and those inspired the setting for Ghosts. But there's this particular town called Half Moon Bay, and it's where we have all of our pumpkin farms in that part of Northern California, so we always go there for Halloween. And I always just thought, what a cool place this would be to set a ghost story. So the location is very much a character in this story, too.
So it sounds like lots and lots of things roll along in a writer's life, and you keep them in a little jewelry box or treasure chest, and then you find ways that they come together. And one thing that you said that really resonated with me when you were talking about the difference between Maya and Kat, and Maya's just out there, we saw that in that little excerpt, you know, let me meet a ghost already, is, because I'm kind of a nervous person too, is by writing that, you can almost practice being braver a little bit.
You can.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Kat needs to be told to breathe all the time. And I thought it was fun, or not fun, but ironic and interesting that she would be being told that by her sister whose lungs don't work properly.
Right.
Yeah.
Yes, we can learn a lot from people around us,
yeah.
Absolutely. Why did you make, this might not be a question anybody else has, but I've read so many ghost books where the ghosts don't actually exist. You know, it turns out it was the light, or it was a dream, or it was something. Why did you have real ghosts in the book?
That's a great question, and I don't know if I have an answer, except that I always liked the visual of ghosts and skeletons. I liked Scooby-Doo when I was a kid. I liked Casper the Friendly Ghost. I really liked the old cartoon that Disney made called The Skeleton Dance, which was a silly symphonies.
Yeah.
And it was, this is so embarrassing. Disney used to do this thing called DTV, where they would take like pop songs and put them in the context of clips from Disney cartoons. So as a kid, I'd watch DTV, and it would be like the Halloween DTV, and so they'd show all these old Mickey Mouse cartoons. There's like a Ghost Hunters cartoon that they made with Mickey and Donald and Goofy, and then that was set to like the Ghostbusters song. And I don't know, I was just always really enamored of it. And so the idea of having real ghosts and have real kids interacting with those ghosts, mostly what I do when I write is realistic fiction. So I've never brought a metaphysical aspect into it before. You know, it was always a possibility to have the ghosts not be real and it to just be a figment of their imagination, but I wanted it to be real. Maybe I want ghosts to be real. Maybe that's the answer.
Uh-huh. Okay. I can believe that. Now, almost all the words in your books are dialogue, almost all of them, as we just saw, people talking. But occasionally you'll write out a sound like cough, cough, or slam, or every once in a while you'll have a word that indicates a movement like wiggle, wiggle, and you'll see that somebody's wiggling their hands. And maybe you might put a little thing that says later, you know, to show that time has gone by. But in graphic novels, what kinds of things do you have to think about that are usually part of the narration in other books? Like, how do you deal with setting and time going by, the characters' personalities, and especially what they're thinking? In other words, how do you decide what to write and what to draw?
You are hitting me with all the real serious questions today. That is so hard to describe, but it comes mostly from reading other people's comics and seeing how other authors handle it. And the problem, I don't know if it's a problem, but the thing about comics is, you mentioned captions, which are the boxes